We started in southeastern Pennsylvania. Our first stop was in western Pennsylvania, the Laurel Highlands, it's called, near a house built by Frank Lloyd Wright, a very famous house that's built by the architect Frank Lloyd Wright. It's a very pretty area. There's lots of biking and stuff.
Is that house called Falling Water?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It is sitting pretty much right on top of a waterfall, which is very fun, very cool. They have a swimming area that was designed for the family in the stream. And the house was built to blend in with the natural landscape. So for everybody who loves streams and waterfalls and woods, it's a beautiful retreat where the windows and the shape of the house just fit with nature. We stayed in a really cool youth hostel in Ohio on a farm. And a youth hostel, it's a fun place because there are a lot of travelers that stay there.
There was a crowd of domestic geese there, and there was a Canada goose as well that had broken its wing. But the domestic geese sort of just let it blend in, and they let it into their pack. So I thought that was pretty cool. There were two small kittens that chased the geese and ducks. They would sort of just take naps in the middle of the road. Seemed fairly basic farm kittens, but they would chase just about anything that was alive.
Ray, just as a side note, you have a cat named Cammy.
Yes.
But Cammy doesn't sleep in the middle of the road or chase everything alive.
I hope not.
Have you been talking to Cammy on the trip?
I've been trying to.
Does she answer?
Not in the way that you would expect.
But she misses Ray a lot. His dad, who didn't come along with us, Ray's father, says that Cammy is acting differently because Ray's not there. We went west and we went to a state park that apparently I was in. I visited this when I was a very young child, according to my dad. I don't remember that. It's called Warren Dunes State Park. I do know that sand dunes are really fun things for me as an adult and as a child. They really have some sand dunes there. They're like mountains right next to Lake Michigan.
Daryl, do you remember that earlier trip?
I do, yeah. The Michigan dunes, the Warren dunes, were always a really special thing when we could get out of where we lived at that time in Chicago. The sand accumulates there on the beach of Lake Michigan and then it gets blown up into these dunes by the prevailing winds from the lake. And these dunes are 100 or so feet high. I was pleased that I was still able to climb to the top of these dunes.
With us, that's the first thing we did. It was so windy there. It was just incredibly windy, very dramatic. There was sand, little miniature sand dunes accumulating in the parking lot, and they wouldn't let us go in the lake that day at all because the waves were so big that they considered it to be dangerous. It looks just like an ocean when it's like that. Lake Michigan looks like an ocean. All three of us, I think, just really wanted to go up. It was inviting to us to go up to the top of the sand dune.
And you didn't need any contraptions. You didn't need dirt bikes. Just walking up was good.
Well, we did use these really interesting things called legs, and they worked fairly well.
With the legs, it helps to be young. You can run down the sand dune and not be afraid of hurting yourself.
Although I did almost do a backflip doing that.
You can do little flips, and you don't get hurt. And that's an advantage. I was kind of jealous of you for that. We stopped and visited my Aunt Marge, who is Dad's sister, and she stays in a retirement community there in Davenport, Iowa. She had arranged for me to play a little concert there. because I play the violin. Yeah, she had posters up, and I was getting a little nervous because she was bragging about me so much. But it was really a lot of fun. They were a wonderful audience. She had a handheld mic for me, and I could walk around and talk to everybody. And I played the strolling violinist, which is always fun for me to do. So we headed west through Iowa and then up the Missouri River, which is the path of Lewis and Clark. So that was kind of fun. And we actually stopped at a state park and saw a life-size model of the boat they used when they were on the river. And that was fun. We were surprised. We didn't know what that boat looked like. Very big boat, a sailboat. I'd forgotten they went up the river. I thought we'd be smarter to try to go down the river. But they used the sail, I guess, and the winds probably helped push them up the river.
And Ray, you had probably heard of Lewis and Clark before you saw that boat, right?
We have a lot of history books on them that they sort of say, it's there, you should probably study it, but then they really never assign it as homework. But it's interesting to find out about.
I think Ray liked the cotton floating out of the cottonwood trees there. Just looks like fairyland to me with all those little bits of cotton floating through the air. And when the cotton comes out of the trees a lot, it even looks like snow, I understand, on the ground. I think that's very magical, just beautiful to see. So then we continued on to Yellowstone, and we weren't able to get our reservations in the park, so we stayed in a really, what ended up being a really nice park called Buffalo Bill State Park. The driving through the mountains was amazing. I was driving, and I had to really focus.
I'm the only one who has O blood type, so I'm the mosquito magnet, the only person actually being bitten. And then everyone else is like, oh, it's so fun.
I think the insect repellent works better on me than it does on Ray. There were a lot of mosquitoes there. They know that he's delicious, I guess.
Back in about 1948, I visited Yellowstone National Park with my parents. At that time, they didn't have showers and whatnot like they do now. And so every so often, we had to take an afternoon off and take baths in the tent one at a time. Also, at that time, they had more bears, black bears, than they do now. So my father and I were sitting on the picnic bench there in our camp, heating the water for my mother, who was in the tent, taking her bath. And we noticed a black bear walking slowly towards us and taking into account that we were there, so it headed towards the tent. And just as the bear approached the tent, apparently my mother finished with her basin of soapy water, lifted the tent flap just a little bit and flipped that out, not knowing that a bear was anywhere near, and it hit the bear right in the face, temporarily blinding the bear, and the bear turned and ran away, but almost immediately tripped over a large log that was there to keep the cars out of the tenting area, and did a somersault. And, of course, continued to run away. And my father and I, watching that sequence of events, you know, laughed. And my mother thought we were laughing at her, so she got a little bit angry about that.
She had just flung a basin of soapy water into the face of a black bear who ran off, tripped over itself, did a head-over-heel somersault, and continued to run off.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
You don't see that so often in Yellowstone these days.
That's right.
That was the 1948 Yellowstone. Now, for the 2014 Yellowstone, Ray, what kind of critters did you see?
We saw a lot of ground squirrel, elk, and a bison. We did see a bison in the parking lot of one of the hot springs, and it was just sort of walking around. A lot of people were getting really close to it. Conveniently, I at the time had just locked my camera in the car. Sort of like when the bison charged our car, I had dropped the camera just in time when it went by, so I don't have a whole lot of proof. It did happen, though.
All the hot springs, especially the geysers, it's just crazy. And it's also beautiful. And my favorite one was the one that's in the lake, which I can't remember what it was called now. The people used to go fishing in the lake near this one. And then the water was so hot in this little conical geyser-like formation here that they would then take their fish and just cook it in the hot water. So it was called something like Fishing Hole. The Fishing Hole. It really looked inviting. It looked like you would want to go in and sit there, but not safe to do. So we didn't do that. Glacier Park is very dear to my heart because I worked there at the Backcountry Chalets when I was a young adult for three different summers. There I was with my son hiking on the High Line Trail, and the sun had come out, it had stopped raining, and the clouds were always one of my favorite things. And this cloud came up from below and it was just rolled up the mountain and then came and just came right across us and in front of us. And it was just so dreamy and beautiful, like being in heaven, I think. If there's a heaven, that's what it's going to be like. So, and I was so happy to be with my son sitting there on that mountain right then.
Who got to touch a cloud?
Raising my hand.
Ray had expressed an interest in touching the clouds, and he got to.
Yeah, when I was there before, I was able to climb up to Grinnell Glacier. That was a really special experience there, and look down the a crevasse in Grinnell Glacier. I don't have the energy now to do that. We did see some glaciers from a distance, but I'm not sure there are crevasses now in the glaciers in Grinnell Glacier. The glaciers there, of course, are not nearly as big as they were when I visited earlier. I understand they're going to disappear in 2030. All of them will disappear by the year 2030. So that's unfortunate, but
things always change. One of the things I noticed about the park that it made me feel hopeful was the fact that the fires come through and they burn. And some people would think, oh, this is a horrible thing. A lot of people out east would think this is just horrible. There's nothing good about this fire. You know, of course, it would be bad if it burned somebody's house or, you know, if an animal got hurt or something like that. I'm sure there are bad things about the fires that way. But it's so good to see the new forest growing back. And all the little trees are so cute. I was stunned by all those dead trees and then by seeing the beauty of all the new flowers and trees growing up.
I can report that Ray had an insight because I was hiking along with Nancy and Ray on a day when we did this long hike, which had these spectacular views of gorgeous basins of wilderness scenery and lakes, cliffs, massive scree fields, all the colors of the rainbow in the sky and on the earth and the snow. We took a pause and asked Ray what he thought about this scenic vista. And what did you say, Ray?
Well, I said they should put a smoothie factory there and a Waffle House there. And then instead of a gigantic oil line, they should just have a very large smoothie line transporting smoothie to everyone. So your garden hose just shoots out smoothie. Mm-hmm. And it would be pretty good fertilizer. You'd probably have to pay your smoothie bill.
We'd been hiking for some distance at that point, and it was hot, and we were thirsty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Glacier National Park is just incredibly beautiful, and going to the Sun Road, all that beauty just unfolds in front of you. It's incredible. My voice is actually choking up as I think about it. But, you know, to revisit this place that I'd seen before is just really special. And one insight I had was one day I was a little too tired, so I stayed at the youth hostel where we stayed by myself while the others, Ray and Nancy and Beth Ann, all went hiking. I was lonesome, you know, and I realized doing this by myself would not be the same. Being with Nancy and Ray was really special, what made it special. And it was just a really great trip.
Did you see any moose?
Not yet.
But there's interest in seeing moose.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I want to see a moose. I want to have a pet moose.
Pet moose?
Yes, pet moose.
It could be hard.
Yeah. I figure we could probably just let it roam through all their neighbors' yards.
You looked it up, right? You did some research on having a pet moose?
Usually people who have pet moose, it doesn't really end well. The moose usually runs away.
I can just imagine a runaway moose in Solbury, Pennsylvania.
That would be wacky.